In the Iranian New Year, a year which Iran's leader has called the year to support Iranian-made products. Iran's leader has spoken and has highlighted some important issues, from how the revolution toppled the domination of foreign powers over Iran to how Iran should watch out for things like imports and overconsumption, referring to how this is a pivotal year economically. Foreign policy issues were also highlighted by standing up to the U.S. and Western powers who want to impose their desires onto Iran, in which Iran was able to foil U.S. plots in the region, like defeating the Daesh terrorists.
The rapid growth and spread of different terror groups in the Middle East has thrown the entire region into chaos. In recent years, Daesh terrorists took advantage of the raging conflict in the region and committed atrocities in Syria and Iraq, the likes of which had not been witnessed in modern history. Addressing a huge gathering of pilgrims in the holy Iranian city of Mashhad on the first day of the Persian New Year, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution touched on the terrorist group's campaign of violence against innocent people. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei accused the U.S. of creating Daesh to head off attention from Israeli atrocities, adding the plot was foiled by Iran.
جمهوری اسلامی توانست نقشه آمریکا را در منطقه خونسا کند. نقشه آمریکا چه بود؟ نقشه آمریکا این بود که گروه‌های شریر و ظالم و حتی کی از قبیل داعش را به وجود بیاورد برای اینکه ذهن ملت‌ها را از رژیم غاصب صهیونیستی منصرف کنه، اونها را مشغول کند به مسائل داخلی خودشون، به جنگ داخلی، به مشکلات داخلی. فرصتی برای اونها باقی نذارد که به فکر رژیم صهیونیستی بیفتند. این نقشه آمریکا بود که داعش رو به وجود آورد. این نقشه رو ما توانستیم خونسا کنیم به توفیق الهی.
The leader stressed that Washington's role in Afghanistan is a proof that it is not able to provide security for the region. Ayatollah Khamenei noted that Washington was not only lying about fighting terrorism, but it was fostering terrorists to advance its regional agenda. Hailing the Islamic Republic's key role in restoring security and stability to the region, the leader noted that Iran has managed to defeat terrorism and bring it to its knees. The leader made it clear that the U.S. will not see its dreams realized in the region.
بدون شک می توانم این رو عرض بکنم، بدون شک در مسائل منطقه آمریکا به مقصود خود نخواهد رسید و ما انشاءالله مقاصد خودمون رو تحقق خواهیم بخشید.
Elsewhere in his remarks, Ayatollah Khamenei slammed those who criticize Iran's presence in the region, including Iraq and Syria, noting that the Iranian involvement has been under the official request from those countries. He said Tehran has offered help to regional countries based on good faith. Terrorists in Syria and Iraq have been dealt heavy blows in recent months, thanks to efforts by national armies with the help of their allies, including Iran. It seems time has come to hold the creators and sponsors of such groups accountable for bringing so much misery to regional nations.
Our guest joining us for this edition of Debate, we have Mohammad Marandi, professor at the University of Tehran, who joins us in the studios. We also have Masoud Shajara, head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission, who joins us from London. Gentlemen, welcome. I'd like to wish both of you a happy new year. And let me start with you, Professor Marandi. Iran's leader has said this year the motto or the slogan to be made in Iran, to support Iranian products, in other words, buy Iranian goods. That somewhat ties in internationally. Tell us why he has emphasized that to be the slogan and, of course, the importance that that has for Iran's economy.
Well, I'm not an economist, so I should refrain from saying too much, but I think one of the major problems that Iran is facing right now is the fact that many of Iranian domestic producers are facing a difficult time in selling their goods. So in order for the economy to be able to move forward and for employment to grow in the country, I think this extra stress on purchasing Iranian goods is of major significance. And I also think that Iran's friends abroad would be doing a lot of good to Iran if they too purchase as many Iranian products as possible in order to improve the economic situation. After all, Iran is the heart of the resistance to American hegemony in this part of the world. Iran has helped regional countries in the face of extremism, alongside the peoples of the region themselves who've done most of the hard work, but the Iranians have been there to support them. And despite the fact that the United States and Saudi Arabia and other countries have been supporting ISIS and Al-Qaeda, and unfortunately even our Turkish friends have been a part of that in the past, but the Iranians have helped prevent Syria, Damascus in particular, and Baghdad from falling into the hands of those who carry the black flag. So I think that right now the important thing for Iran is to strengthen its economic situation, and the people of Iran, of course the government has to play a very major role, but I think ordinary people also have to change their buying patterns, if that's how you put it, and produce more local goods, and buy more local goods.
Well, this does have somewhat of an international dimension, Mr. Shajar, and the angle that I'm going to come at you with this is the fact that it seems like the U.S. president, especially this U.S. presidency, off the cuff just wants to give out sanctions, not to mention the Treasury Secretary Mnuchin. Anytime something happens that appears, let's sanction Iran. So they're using that as a tool to achieve some of their political goals. And I'm guessing that is why this Made in Iran slogan or supporting buying Iranian goods fits in with the resistance economy, which could then decrease any impact that those sanctions may have.
Yes, I mean it is a reality that no economy in the history have actually flourished by just importing and not producing anything and relying on international community for everything. And the fact of the matter is that this is impossible. And so therefore, to strengthen the economic position of Iran internally and rely on productions of all goods, it is going to be strengthening Iran's position. But I mean, you know, with regard to Mr. Trump, I mean, Mr. Trump is really is a voice, is a sort of obvious voice and very exposed voice of United States, and is nothing new with the policy of United States for going to within the region or any region, particularly Middle East and Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Libya. Everywhere they've gone, they've actually created chaos, and which has resulted in promotion of extremism, Daesh, for example, and indeed destroyed the fabric of the life of the ordinary people. And so United States has been promoting chaos, while Iran's involvement, be it in Iraq or in Syria or elsewhere, has been actually bringing some sort of security and harmony and actually stopping the chaos. The reality is that United States and its allies keeps on talking that they are against the terrorists, but in reality we have seen that they have armed the Daesh, they have supported Daesh with sales of oil and friends, and the reality is that Daesh would not exist without that infrastructure of support. It would not have been created without that creation of the chaos and havoc, which has been a systematic policy of United States, not just from this presidency, but indeed the previous administration. Only different is that Trump has removed this mask, and we can see the real policy now, clearly, all of us. And the reality on the other side is that now we know that without Iran, Russia, and Hezbollah's involvement, Daesh would have existed and promoted, and it would have expanded is chaos and killing of ordinary innocent people. And it was really their activity. I mean, really Daesh have been destroyed and diminishing because of the activities of Iran and Hezbollah and to some extent Russia. And the West had nothing to do with it except arming them.
We need to break that a bit more, and if you can give us some examples, Professor Morandi, because, you know, to an outsider perhaps, and especially a Westerner, when you talk about how the U.S. support terrorists, they're going to probably have a look of surprise and shock. But that is indeed what is happening. Break that open for us. Russia has accused time and again the U.S. of supporting terrorists. Iran has also done that. Give us case in points if you can.
Well, first of all, we have the U.S. Defense Intelligence Agency document of 2012 that was partially released. This organization is the largest military intelligence organization in the world. It's a part of the Pentagon. That document points out in 2012 that the major forces in Syria that are fighting against the government are the extremists, and that they want to create a state between Syria, a Salafist state between Syria and Iraq, as the document puts it. And the document also points out that U.S. allies in the region, meaning Turkey, Saudi Arabia, among others, that they are supporting the extremists. Later on, it was these very same extremists that created the Islamic State on those borders. On the other hand, we have the oil trade that I think your guest in London was alluding to. The United States allowed Daesh and Turkey to do trade. There were huge queues of tankers that would trade huge amounts of oil from Daesh-held territory to Turkey, and also through Barzani-held territory in Iraq. And it was only the Russians, when they began bombing ISIS, that they destroyed these convoys, and they destroyed literally almost up to 10,000 oil tankers. And of course, as rightly pointed out, the Iranians, the Russians, and Hezbollah, they began to push back and help the Syrian government and the Iraqi government defeat the extremists. And it was only because of that that the United States changed its policy. When they saw that ISIS was losing, they began to shift gear and then support Kurdish forces in Syria to in order for them to gain a foothold and a place at the table in future negotiations. Also, we have the WikiLeaks documents that show Hillary Clinton knew in 2014 that Saudi Arabia, among others, were helping ISIS. We know from the U.S. Vice President, in a speech that he gave, the previous Vice President, Biden, in a speech that he gave at Harvard, where he pointed out that the Saudis and the Emiratis and the Turks, that they were helping the extremists. Of course, the United States was behind all this, but you know they wanted to blame their allies. They didn't want anything on their own shoulders, or at least people to blame them. But I think one of the very revealing documents was a leaked audio tape by the former Secretary of State, Kerry, and where he was telling these so-called Syrian opposition figures that the United States actually allowed ISIS to advance on Damascus to put pressure on the Syrian government. All of this, all the things that I've just said are online. They're available. And of course, the U.S. key ally in the region, they tolerate ISIS on their border, the Israeli regime. The former Secretary of Defense of Israel once joked and said that ISIS once mistakenly lobbed a mortar into Israel, and they immediately apologized. Right now, ISIS is on the Israeli border. The military intelligence chief of Israel in 2016 stated explicitly that Israel prefers ISIS over this current Syrian government. And the former head of Mossad, in an interview on Al Jazeera of all places, said that he admitted that they treat injured Al-Qaeda and Nusra Front soldiers. And they said because Al-Qaeda in Syria, their attacks aren't directed against us. So this is the U.S. key ally in the region. The evidence is very clear, and it's out there in the open. The Americans airlifted weapons from Libya to Syria through Jordan and Turkey, and they also bought weapons with Saudi money and money from other countries, from Eastern European countries, and so sent those weapons. There are two key command centers in Turkey and in Jordan right now, which the Americans, among others, they are guiding forces inside and have been inside Syria. Of course, the tide has turned thanks to Hezbollah, Iran, Russia, and others, the Afghani volunteers, the people of Syria first and foremost, and the people of Iraq first and foremost as well.
Well, very well. I think Well, that's almost a complete picture there. We appreciate it. Let's look at an accusation that has been leveled against Iran, of which Iran's leader mentioned in his statements, Professor Masoud Shajari, and that is the fact that Iran has been accused of interfering in regional countries' affairs, but it's the U.S. that actually is the one to be accused. The examples we can set here, for example, in Syria, no authorization given to the U.S. to be there. And the U.S. doesn't have a U.N. mandate either, but it's there. We look at Iraq. Iraq's parliament voted just recently to have a timeline for foreign powers to leave its country. We know that the U.S. is involved in the war in Yemen also, and none of these areas have been able to benefit from the U.S. presence. But at the same time, Iran and the respective governments, they've cooperated with Iran. So does that mean that wherever the U.S. is going, trouble follows, and therefore instability is within there?
Well, the United States is behaving as a very sort of arrogant colonial power that thinks that it's got the God-given right to go and create havoc all around the world. And it's actually its right to do so. It openly and publicly talks about regime changes. Its Senate and its structures puts money aside for regime change, for creating havoc, for creating disharmony, for promoting civil war. And these are all public. I mean, as Professor Marandi said, all you have to do is go on the Google and on the internet, and you see all the evidence there. And the fact is that at the same time, it accuses others. It accuses Hezbollah as being terrorist organization, and with his allied Zionist state, is trying to promote that line now in the West and further put sanctions. Well, the reality is that Hezbollah, Iran, and to some extent Russia have been actually a force for bringing stability, getting rid of the terrorists, and indeed making even the streets of Europe and London and elsewhere safe. It should be actually, the West should be thankful. If it's really serious in fighting terrorism, fighting Daesh, if it's really serious that considers Daesh and extremism like them as the greatest threat to their way of life, then it should be thankful to Iran and Hezbollah for actually stopping this phenomena from taking over not just the region, but indeed going elsewhere around the world. But, you know, they don't want to do that because the issue, the United States is never has been concerned about creating harmony. You look at their policy. You look at what they've done in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria. There is nowhere on this earth that the United States has gone and actually has been any sort of harmony coming out of it. If anything, we have seen that the chaos and the killing and the number of people dead in Iraq, in Libya, in Syria, after the implementation of the foreign policy of the United States has actually increased many fold. More people have died as a result of their policy than anything else in the region. And then they have at the same time the audacity to actually accuse Iran and Hezbollah and others for creating or interfering. Of course, Iran has got the right of trying to harmonize its neighborhood and help countries like Iraq, like Syria, to get rid of these atrocity of Daesh and other groups like it. It's got more right to do that than United States going and creating these groups and creating havoc, which actually is a breeding ground for these extremism and these sort of chaos.
Well, we're looking at this past week marking the 15-year anniversary of the Iraq War, Professor Marandi, and most of the headlines, when you just peruse through and do a Google search, say that the U.S. has not learned its lesson. But one of the things that Masoud Shajari pointed out was havoc in the region. And there's some that have deducted, and I'm sure you've heard some analysts that are saying, you know what, the U.S. is after instability in the region. They want the region to always be in the state of instability. one of Israel's motives and goals in order to have the region broken up into smaller pieces as part of a greater Middle East plan. Is this what perhaps could be one of the intentions of the U.S.?
Well, let me get back to something and sort of link that to what you've just asked, because you said sometimes Westerners or Americans look shocked when you say that the United States was linked to ISIS. First of all, the United States, from the very beginning, they promoted extremism in this part of the world, and it began in Afghanistan with the Saudis. The United States, Brzezinski, who was the National Security Advisor under Carter, he bragged a few years before he died that he brought the Russians into Afghanistan, that the Americans drew them into Afghanistan by supporting extremists. In other words, the Americans wanted to create a Soviet Vietnam. So basically what the U.S. government under Carter and his National Security Advisor did was they sacrificed a country. They destroyed a country in order to make the Soviet Union suffer. This is how the United States works. And these extremists are the same sort of extremists that we saw in Syria, because ISIS was initially al-Qaeda. It was al-Qaeda in Syria. It came from the Islamic State of Iraq. The Nusra Front in Syria was a branch of al-Qaeda, and so was ISI, which later became ISIS and broke away from al-Qaeda for its own reasons. And I should also add that the U.S. the head of U.S. military intelligence, the Defense Intelligence Agency, at the time when the extremists were gaining the upper hand in Syria, was General Flynn, the famous Michael Flynn. He also, in an interview on Al Jazeera, admitted that the United States at that time took a willful decision to support its regional partners in supporting the extremists. So this is online. Of course, Mr. Shajara said you could Google. I wouldn't say Google, because Google is becoming increasingly unreliable. The Americans are putting more and more control on Facebook. Just a couple of days ago, Facebook brought down a very famous Syrian government page, which with over 2 million followers. So
you're right.
Facebook, Twitter, all of these Western corporations and companies are becoming increasingly
Sorry,
unreliable.
Sorry, I got to jump in. I apologize. I should have asked this question earlier. We're unfortunately fresh out of time, but thank you, Professor Morandi, Professor of the University of Tehran, and thank you, Master Shajara, Head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate from Mikhail Tabway, entire team in the capital of Tehran. It's goodbye.